We're going to conclude this series called Putting Christ in Christmas. And so I've titled today's message, Let It Be Unto Me. Let it be unto me. And I know what this image may make you think of Mary. Well, you're thinking correctly. That's what we're going to talk about today. Okay, so we're going to begin by reading Luke chapter 1, verses 26 to 38. And by the way, if you want to follow along, we do have the Bible app, the YouVersion app. If you go to events, you'll find there's a Shiloh notes are in there. So you can follow along with our notes. You can take notes. You can do that as well. There's basic steps are here on the screen. Thank you, Ms. Cheryl, for doing that. Okay, so let's read now. Verse 26. Now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And having come in, the angel said to her, Rejoice, highly favored one. The Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women. But when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and considered what manner of greeting this was. Then the angel said to her, Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end. Then Mary said to the angel, How can this be, since I do not know a man? And the angel answered and said to her, The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Highest will overshadow you. Therefore, also the Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God. Now, indeed, Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son in her old age. And this is now the sixth month for her who was called barren. For with God, nothing will be impossible. Then Mary said, Behold, the maidservant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word. And the angel departed from her. And I just want to say, you know, we need the Holy Spirit to come upon us and to birth something in us, don't we? And as Pastor was praying, you know, for baby Eric, I mean, I feel the Holy Spirit so strong, Pastor. I really believe there's something pouring impartation, you know, was passed on him and on us as his parents and his family. You know, so we're just expecting great things. So thank you. Thank you for doing that. So I have 3 points for you today. And this is my first point based on the reading that we just had. And point number one is we don't choose what happens, but we can let him make sense of it. Yes. You know, we just don't choose what happens. Things just happen to us, but we can let him make sense of it. Okay, and that's where we exercise our faith. The Bible says that without faith, it is impossible to please God. And the world will always ask, why me? Why now? Why are you punishing me? What have I done? And while we may certainly ask God the whys, we must trust that our loving Father has a plan that is unfolding. He is choosing to make sense of what seems like a mess to you in disarray. And he's going to use it for his glory. He's going to impact lives through it. And he's going to bless you in the process. So in this passage, I'm sure that Mary had dreams of a house with a picket fence. She was betrothed. That means promised, right, to Joseph. You know, she wanted to have 5 children, a dog, a cat, and a donkey. You know, it was very important to have a donkey back then. So she was going to have a donkey as well. You know, but when life happens, it does so in a way that interrupts life. Anybody's life ever been interrupted? Come on. I know my wife's in. Yep. And at times you feel punched in the gut, and you're trying to catch your breath. And I think that happened to Mary. She was wondering what kind of manner of greeting that was. What was going on here? This has never happened to me. You know, all of us, we talk about angels, we talk about God, but if an angel were to show up, I think for the first few seconds it would be like, oh, whoa, we wouldn't know what to do, right? You know, so sometimes tragedies happen, loss, major life changes. Sometimes people lose their jobs, their sicknesses, broken relationships, and they make us ask, why? But we must seek God in it. I remember losing my father in 2009, and he was relatively young. He was 61 years old, and all of a sudden everything changed. All right, so he was pastoring Centro Cristiano Shiloh, which is now Lifehouse Church. My brother's taking over, but changes came quickly. You know, but we sought God in it, and we had to look to him for answers. You know, a year later, more changes. My grandmother says, I want to go to Mexico. My mom says, okay, I'll go with you. And then my sister says, okay, I'll go with you too. So next thing you know, three members of our family are also gone and living in Mexico. And Jorge's having to, you know, run a church, you know. It's just a growth spurt. And sometimes that happens in our lives. God allows interruptions and situations to trouble us. But when we look to God, he can use them and he can make sense of them. But we got to keep our eyes on him. I also remember in 2002, I've told you this story, in a period of a few weeks, I got laid off from my job. You know, I lost a girlfriend and, you know, that I wanted to marry. And then I also wrecked my truck going about 60 miles per hour, hit a deer. You know, so all of a sudden, I didn't have a job and I was just sitting at home without a car. And I was like, okay, what do I do now, God? So I said, I'm going to seek God. I need God. Because obviously God's trying to tell me something. You know, but I can tell you, after I saw God on that, it paved the way for one of the greatest seasons in my life. So we don't choose what happens, we can let him make sense of it. You can't stay in that place. You need to know that God is in control. And you need to look up like Mary and say, let it be unto me according to your word. He's going to make sense of it sooner or later, but you cannot abort the process. That's the part he lets you in on. He's not going to force your hand. You have a choice in the matter. He hasn't made robots. He's given us a will. Amen? He's going to work the circumstances around you, but you're still going to have to make those choices. And you, whether to bring glory to him or you can kick and scream all along, right? So whether you got yourself into the mess, someone else got you into the mess, or maybe God himself orchestrated this situation, you know, to grow you, to bless people, he's going to do something with it if you allow him, and it's going to be beautiful, and it's going to touch a lot of people. Listen to me, you have a choice in any interruption. Psalm 139:16 says, your eyes saw my substance being yet unformed. This is David speaking, still being in their womb. But then he says, and in your book, they all were written, the days fashioned for me when as yet there were none of them. He has written a book about you. He has a plan, a very well thought out design. It's not by chance. You're in his hand. You're in his hand. Don't jump out. Remember Joseph, he had been sold by his flesh and blood and later wrongly accused and put in jail. But he was able to see God's design. It took him a while. He was very troubled. But all of a sudden, he had the revelation. In Genesis 50, verse 20, he said, talking to his brothers, he says, but as for you, you meant evil against me. They had sold him, you know, as a slave. But God meant it for good, in order to bring it about, as it is this day, to save many people alive. God can turn it around for your good and the good of many people to save their lives. So you need to allow God to work through the interruption in your life. So no matter whether you're in your journey of processing the situation, it probably caught you by surprise, you got to check in with God. God, what do you have to say about it? You got to look up and say, what are you doing here, God? Because his opinion is very important, and you may need to roll back. Some of you already taken steps with the assumptions you made about what happened, and God is saying, no, you went too far in those assumptions. You need to roll back a little bit, and let me tell you that all along, because Joseph could have come down on his brothers with vengeance, but he said, guys, I now see it all. And tears streaming down his face. He said, I now see it all, guys. The reason why God allowed me to be sold to slavery and to then be accused and put in jail is he was forming in me a gift that one day I would be able to assume second in command in Egypt to not only save, you know, our people, the Hebrews, but also save the nation of Egypt. Now I see it. And it may take a while, but you need to allow God to show you. And I'm glad that I saw God, because then God blessed me immensely. with ministry and with a family. You know, he doubled everything I had. You've heard my testimony. You know, what I lost in that season, because God is not just trying to mess with your life. He has a good purpose for it. Amen? Hallelujah. Just like with Mary. So you need to say, your attitude needs to be, let it be unto me according to your word. God, I don't know what's going on exactly. I can't see it just yet. But let it be unto me according to your word. And point number two, the greater the odds, the greater the glory. The greater the odds, the greater the glory. And you say, why me, God? Nobody would, you know, do anything with me. They look at me and they discount me right away. And I'm sure Mary must have had those thoughts. I'm nobody. I'm just a child. But this theme is prevailing in the scriptures. He will choose those who nobody would ever bet on because of their apparent talents, because of their social status, because of their level of charisma, because of their well-spoken or anything like that. No, he chooses people that don't have those traits often, because then he gets all the glory. He gets all the glory. People would say, it couldn't have been anybody but God in that person's life. You can't even get intoxicated with your own, you know, pride and say, oh, it was because I'm so smart, because I'm so eloquent, you know, because I'm just blessed. No, it is God's blessing. It is God's blessing. So he used a teenager girl named Mary, who was betrothed to Joseph. And the word for betrothed in the Greek is menesteo, which means she was already promised. She was betrothed, but she was a virgin. That means she had never been with a man. And sorry if there's some children in here, you're going to have to explain all that to them later. But she had never been with a man. You know, it had to be a virgin birth. It's a great odds, right? Well, you can have a child, but you never been with a man? Okay, so that had to be the Holy Spirit. But second, it was because it had been prophesied in Isaiah 7:14. It says, therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. Amen. The virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. But second, like I said, it was the odds. If she had already had children, there would always been that question. Well, how do we know that was from God? It could have just been, you know, just another child of Joseph. Come on. And the greater the odds, the greater the glory. But this was a supernatural event. It had to be a virgin so that the miraculous would be in full display. And God wants to birth something inside of you. That's why we need to come into his presence, people. Come on. It's not just to begin all this word in us. I mean, that is good. You got to have the word. You have to have it. It's an important ingredient to the Christian life. But you need to come into his presence, because it is the Spirit that makes sense of it, that begins to reveal what the word means. 1 Corinthians 8 verse 1 says that knowledge puffs up, but love builds up. And it's only the Holy Spirit that can take that word and shape it and give life to it and make it into the miraculous. And not only that, is when you come into his presence that it begins to birth in you dreams and passions, you know, for you to go out and do something great for the Lord. Just like she conceived a seed, you know, from the Lord, he's going to hover over you and he's going to begin to drop things. And you say, why me, Lord? I'm nobody. God is saying, I don't make mistakes. I don't make mistakes. I have dropped this dream. If you will seek me, you can do this. I will be with you all along. Come on. Some of you have dreams and you're wondering if you should act on them. I'm telling you, you need to, you know, get in line with God's vision for your life. And it is directly tied to the vision of the house, because God has called us to walk in step together. Amen? So the greater the odds, the greater the glory. Not only was she just a common Jewish girl from a lowly family, but God wanted to show his greatness. So the angel relayed the message. So Gabriel said to her, rejoice, highly favored one. I bet you she never felt that. When the angel appeared to, you know, Gideon, he said, mighty man of valor. He had never done anything great to that point. Why? It's because God speaks into us who we are going to be, or what he's already seen done in the future. Come on, he sees the, you know, the prophetic, who you are, fully mature, fully equipped, doing great things for the Lord. The Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women. Then he said to her, the Holy Spirit will come upon you. Like I said, we need to come in close proximity to the Holy Spirit. And the power of the highest will overshadow you. Therefore also the Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God. And then he finished by reminding her that, for with God, let's say it with me, nothing will be impossible. Let's say that again. For with God, nothing will be impossible. I think some of you needed to hear that, because there's some situations you had given up on. There's a relationship. Maybe there's a sickness. But you gave up on it. And like David in the Psalms, what he said, oh, bless the Lord, all my soul. And all that is within me, bless him. Sometimes you got to say, soul? Wait a second. With God, nothing is impossible. With God, nothing is impossible. With God, nothing is impossible. God will do something amazing in me and through me. People will be blessed. When Abraham had no children, he says, I'm going to bless you, and you're going to be the father of multitudes. And he says that he believed the Lord, and it was counted to him as righteousness. Come on, you need to believe that God has his eyes set on you, and he's going to use you mightily. For with God, nothing is impossible. Hallelujah. He loves to do that. He did it with Mary, and he did it with Joseph. He's going to do it with you. Come on. He makes no exceptions of persons. Come on, let your faith arise this Christmas season. I know we have it every year, but it is miraculous. It is amazing. Let's not make it common. Hallelujah. So no matter your background or the odds stacked against you, when you receive Jesus into you, like Mary received Jesus by faith, you are called favored and blessed. And guess what? He gets all the glory. So just reflect it. Once he does something amazing in your life, say, God, that's all you. That's all you. I wouldn't be here if it wasn't for you, Lord. Hallelujah. God wants to overshadow you and draw glory from you. Come on. He can get a little bit of glory, or he can get a whole lot of glory from you. Are you going to allow him to get the most glory from you? Then you need to say, let it be done unto me according to your word. I don't know why you chose me, but praise the Lord that you chose me, Lord God. I don't care if you want me to clean toilets, and you want me to, you know, preach to the multitudes. Whatever you call me to do, I want to be in the middle of your perfect will for my life. Come on. There's no better place to be. When I preach, I feel the presence of God upon my life. I feel this is what I've been called to do. When I'm teaching, I feel that's what I've been called to do. Eric Little, the runner, remember Chariots of Fire? He said, when I run, I feel God's pleasure in my life. I feel God's glory. Why? Because he was called to do that. Whatever you've been called to do, do it unto the Lord. Do it unto the Lord. With a word or deed, do it unto the Lord. Come on. So he's depositing the incorruptible into each one of us. The incorruptible into each one of us. He comes upon us and delivers gifts and favor, dreams, passions, like I said. So don't discount yourself. You're in good company with Mary and the rest of us. 2020 is your year, people. Tell the next person, 2020 is your year. 2020, the year of the harvest, the year of clear vision, 2020 vision, right? Now that's a Christmas gift. Come on. So use me, Lord, however you want. That needs to be a prayer, Lord God. If you can use anything, Lord, you can use me. Remember that song? If you can use, Lord, anything, you can use me. I can't remember the rest of it, so I'm not going to try. Take my hands and my feet, something, something. But just say, send me, Lord, send me. All right, my last point. God's prophecies will be fulfilled in you. God's prophecies will be fulfilled in you. We must understand, people, that God has already seen you in the future. He has seen the finished product. Mature. Strong, established, bearing the mark of the living God. Come on, people. You need to see yourself for who you are. You have the DNA of God. Once the Holy Spirit came into you, That you deposited the DNA. It wasn't just the DNA of Adam. It was the DNA of God inside of you. Built for eternal things. Not for wrath, says the scriptures. Isaiah 9:6. For unto us a child is born. Look at this prophetic word. Unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder. And his name will be called Wonderful. Counselor. Mighty God. Everlasting Father. Prince of Peace. Funny thing is, my daughter has been memorizing the scripture, and she keeps saying Wonderful Counselor without the comma. She goes, he will be called Wonderful Counselor. You know, I was like, hey, that works, you know. He'll be Wonderful and Counselor. Hallelujah. But think about this. He could not, and he would not send us a Savior if there wasn't someone in need of saving. A counselor is needed for those who need to be counseled, who need wisdom. A father is needed for those who are fatherless. A prince of peace is needed for those who are in turmoil, in anxiety, afraid, confused, in broken relationships. So when the Father saw Jesus in the future, he saw you also partaking of the living water, of the bread of life that is in Jesus. Like we said in Psalm 139, it says that a book has been written about you. And you need to know that your messes have been factored into the equation. Your messes have been factored into the equation. But those are the very things, those messes, the ones that make you say, God, all the glory is yours. There's no way I should be out of this mess. But somehow you rescued me. You know, I was in such a deep place of mud. And you pulled me out of there. And you made something beautiful. Mary needed to be born into the tribe of Judah because she needed to be a direct descendant of David and Solomon to fulfill God's promise to David. He says, because you've been faithful to me, there's never going to be a descendant on this throne that doesn't come from you. Amen? None of his words come back void. So you can't say he doesn't love you, because not only did he send his son Jesus to die on the cross, but you are here. And when you're here in the message of salvation. But that's where the choice comes in. He's already prepared Jesus, made the payment, did both parts of the covenant, right? And then he made a way for you to hear the message. How shall they believe if they don't hear the message? It says in Romans chapter 10, I've delivered the message. We've been delivering the message. But now it's your part. You have to receive. Amen? You have to be given ample opportunity to respond. That's the one thing he will want to do for you. So you need to say and surrender today, let it be unto me according to your word, God. I thank you, God. And you say, but now I begin to understand why you allowed me to go through this situation. Some of you wouldn't be here today if you hadn't gone through those situations. Some people don't look up to God until they're flat on their back, right? It's true. I mean, God can do it the easy way or the hard way. The Bible says it's better that you fall on the rock than the rock falls on you. But however you come to Jesus, whether you're pulverized or you're doing kind of limping into the throne, you know, it doesn't matter. Come to Jesus. Come to Jesus and say, let it be unto me according to your word. So I'm going to ask everyone to stand. Let us make this our prayer today. If you would just close your eyes, you can make just prayer your own. Say, God, I know you see the end from the beginning, and somehow you're able to make sense of my messes, my pain, the ones that I've gotten into, the ones that others have gotten me into. But you will finish the work that you began in me. So let it be unto me according to your word. in 2020, I'm done doing things my way. I'm going to sow a year into you to reap a lifetime of closeness and blessing in you. I want all you have for me. I want the full adventure that you have ahead for me. Get all the glory that you can for me, Lord. And just begin to converse with him. Let it be unto me according to your word. One day, three wise men, some people say they were kings, magi, brought gifts to Jesus. Frankincense, myrrh, and gold. But I want to tell you, the best gift you can bring Jesus is your heart. And when I mean your heart, it's not just a religious term. It's bringing everything that you are and say, I fully surrender to you. If you really want to bless Jesus this Christmas, whether you've done this before or not, bring him who you are. Bring him who you are. Your heart, your mind, your strength, your body. And say, I belong to you, Lord. Take me. I receive your forgiveness. I receive the gift of life, of eternal life that you laid out for me. I want to fulfill your plans for my life. Whatever they are, I submit myself fully to them this year. So if this is you, if you want to give your life to Jesus for the first time, or if you want to recommit your life to Jesus, I just want to invite you to pray with me. And let me know who you are by just raising your hand wherever you're at. If this is you, if you want to recommit your life to Jesus or come to him for the first time, all heads bowed. Is there anyone here? Yes, there's some hands here. Bring your gift to Jesus. Bring your gift to Jesus. Everyone, just pray this with me. Father, I thank you for your son, Jesus. For his miraculous birth, born of a virgin, as prophesied. You fulfill your word to bring salvation to all men. I thank you that he grew up to be a savior and died on the cross for my sins. So today, I repent of all the ways that I've sinned and gone against your word. So today, I invite you into my life. Fill me with who you are. I receive your salvation. I receive your Holy Spirit. Thank you, Jesus. You're my Savior. You're my Messiah. You're my anointed one. I love you and I want to live for you. And I say, let it be unto me according to your word, now and forever. In your name I pray.